the people that we're going to be talking about this month in our spotlight are Pleiadians. Pleiadians are human-looking people. If you saw a Pleiadian being on Earth, you would not necessarily even know that it's not human. So our genetics and Pleiadian genetics are very similar. Pleiadian people look very human-like. They have sort of a Scandinavian a little bit look. So they have blondish hair. They have light skin. They have red blood like we do, so their skin is pinkish. They have blue eyes, generally, and larger eyes. Their eyes are a little bit larger than ours. Otherwise, pretty much the same features. They can eat food and drink liquids, and they have similar internal organs, which is a lot to say to different species who might look like they're humanoid, but they might have internally completely different system. Pleiadians are actually very similar to us. So if you would go to a Pleiadian, let's say, world. They have many, wherever they're from is in the Pleiades, but they have many worlds. You will be able to function there pretty similarly. They require parameters externally for their form that are very similar to what we need. Water, oxygen, food. They don't eat flesh of any living creature. They do eat substances that come from plants, but not the way we do. We grow plants so we can eat them. They take from the plant what the plant would give away anyway. So berries, mushrooms, like things that just sort of extra that the plant will put out there a lot, they see that as an exchange with the plant. And a lot of the food that they eat is plant-like, and some of it in a paste form, sort of like from our perspective, with like having really cool smoothie with something really tasty. Well, from their viewpoint, maybe not ours. Anyway, they are pretty much our height, you know, between 5-6 feet. 5.5 is more common. They have two sexes, male and female. They can have children in a traditional way that's more organic versus having to genetically engineer, although they do that as well if needed, more like to support or cure a particular issue, a malfunction or something like that in the body. They utilize love energy in everything that they do. Pleiadian beings, why they so much associated with the angelic energies, not because they're actually angels, as in Kadishtu group, they're not, they're from Patal group, but they have the frequency of unconditional love, playfulness, and joy, and there's a lot of that pearlescent energy, pink and pearl, kind of like a shell, seashell. That's a frequency that's generally associated with those beings. That's what they bring through themselves when they interact with other species. So that's why they are so loved usually and welcomed and supported, and they seem like this incredible light beings that come in, because that's what they are. They are from the fifth dimension, so that's generally their range. They can go down into fourth dimension, but not really into third unless they have a specialized equipment. So they can use technology to do it, but it's not a common thing for them. Not anymore, at least. Long time ago, they ascended higher up in frequency. So Pleiadian beings are refugees from the Lyran Wars. So in a Lyra star system, where the Vega is the main star and there are others, during the time where Draco Ushumgal came in and essentially tried to take over, there were wars that lasted really, really long time, thousands of years. And eventually a lot of people who populated that region, which were all a little bit different, so it's not to say that everybody from Lyra looked exactly the same and had exactly the same culture. No, they were genetically related, sort of like cousins, and they lived on different worlds. And most of them who were not destroyed ran, and when they ran, they became essentially refugees that, you know, used their technology, their spaceships, or means to travel through pathways of light, through the stargates, to find different worlds where they could exist, because they can't exist without a world. I mean, they don't live on spaceships. So this particular group that we now call Pleiadians, they essentially is one family long time ago, that refugees like that of the war that came to Pleiadian star system, that found themselves a few worlds in there, and there's Alcyon and there are a few other ones, and they are a little bit different now because genetically they became slightly different branches, so they're sort of cousins of each other. People from Alcyon are a little bit more electric and a little bit taller, and they have darker hair, still brown, but kind of like hay that's dark color, and their eyes could be gray or light yellow or blue, when the typical Pleiadian that we think of Pleiadians are definitely typical blonde with blue eyes. So there's a little bit difference, and they're also a little shorter, and they're definitely more magnetic. So generally, when we think of Pleiadian beings, think of it as the refugees of the war. So that's their karmic wound, that they've experienced this feeling of being connected with their star system, connected with their world, and then they had to leave because something external came in and was interacting with them in such a way that it was either leaving to survive or dying. And many did die. So as species, they do carry that wound, and their own lessons connected to that, but it's so far before Earth history that I'm not going to go into that. But when they immigrated into the Pleiadian star system, that's where that culture grew. So even though they are refugees from Lyra, as many other ones, including Syrians, they are refugees from Vega, but each of those refugee cultures developed very differently, utilizing the planet. Some of them got affected chemically by the planet, so then their DNA actually changed a little bit. Some of them hybridized themselves with specific genetics of the world that they landed on, because that was the way to make their body more resilient within that. So to us, that might seem kind of out there or like magic, but that's a pretty standard procedure. So if a group of conscious beings, dimensional, let's say 5D, moves to another world, because they have to, so it's not a planned event, and now that's the world that they have to survive, first thing they're going to do is, if their body is having difficulty with that planet, maybe breathing the type of air that the planet has, not completely, it still has to be compatible, but certain gradations, like the air is too thin, or the water is too heavy, molecule, or something else, or there's more specific chemical that they used to, you know, some abnormalities versus whatever they normally used to, one of the first things they're gonna do is look for what can they add into DNA to augment it a little bit. So they still remain themselves, but now they have some genes active that will allow them to exist within the parameters of the world that they landed on. So Pleiadian beings did the same thing. And partially, you know, the look that they have, that's actually because they didn't do as much of the changing versus, let's say, Alcyon people. They did more to exist in their world. Their world is harsher, when Pleiadian world has essentially like our view of paradise, like beautiful rivers and forests and mountains, and it's gorgeous. So that's the world that they're now in, and that's where their culture developed. And as the Pleiadian culture developed, everything was about this beautiful pearlescent love. So perception of love and connectedness permeates Pleiadian culture. It is something that connects each individual to another without losing individuality. They do have a self that's individual. They're not group mind or anything. They're still individual people. But they are so interconnected. So think of it like being part of some internet, like a web in your mind, in your perception all the time. That means that whatever actions that they're gonna take, including even thoughts or parameters for thinking, are within what's beneficial for the whole. So if somebody has an idea that does not fit with the rest, it will be entertained. It will be allowed to exist so then everybody can look at that. But then it will either dissolve, as in, we don't want it, it doesn't fit with us, Or it will be amplified, as in, wow, this individual brought in something none of us have thought about. So there is individuality, and they can bring in unusual ideas, but it's not a very common thing in that culture. So if we here on Earth are extremely wide range of perception, we have so many different views, we're all so different because there's so much separation. So like two components of duality are very far apart. In Pleiades, there's still duality, but they're very close together. So their range of individuality is much, much narrower compared to us. They think we're incredibly creative, for example. They are not as creative, but they are loving, and we're not as loving. So there are differences. A long time ago, Pleiadian beings came here to Earth. They overseed some of their own experiments here. They participated in an Amlu experiment, which is a long time ago, one being that was created with the DNA of 22 different species. They were one of the species, and so on. They also witnessed the sort of earlier human beings. We had many different types here, seven actually at some point, and then it was reduced to three, which Homo sapiens, as what we now know, ourselves, Neanderthal, which is another type, that was experiment of another group that's related. I mean, they cousins from genetically from 500,000 years ago when they split into two, they're not completely separate. And Dravidian, I think it's called now. So it's another type of a human that split off that human tree branch even further along. But Pleiadians were here mostly interfacing with the Sapien branch. That's the one that was of interest to them. They were not the creators of it, but they participated in educating this specific branch, or us humans. And when the fall of consciousness happened because the planetary changes, and then reptilian beings that were here at the time created sort of a contract with humans in a sense that will protect you, but you have to worship us, give away your power, and humans agreed. Pleiadians essentially got trapped here because they so overmerged with the humans that they felt that that was an incorrect action, and the fact that the Solar Council and overall Kadishtu Council allow that, they saw that as wrong. So I'm not going to go into too many details of that, but the basic of this story is that Pleiadians and humans coexisted, so were the reptilians. Reptilians are the branch of the same ones who very long time ago were the cause for why Pleiadians had to become refugees. So they were the ones who caused the war. So you can see that they were already not necessarily very friendly with that specific branch of reptilians, and vice versa. But they stayed away from each other. And then when the planetary changes happened, the Pleiadian group of educators here on Earth, which is actually a pretty small group, it was under 100 people that were here, they were educating human beings, they had mystery schools, they were supporting human beings, and they wanted to continue that despite of the planetary changes. They were very merged with the people, and they felt all the human fear and desperation, so that wobbled Pleiadians a lot because they didn't know what to do with that. They never experienced those really strong negative emotions. And when the reptilian beings essentially said that, hey, humans, we will protect you, just give up your power, human beings did that. Now, that was a choice of human beings, and it's not a really correct choice, but hey, it's a choice. Freedom of choosing, we have free will. So now human beings are dealing with that karmic pattern of giving away the power, learning through powerlessness. And we're just now fully stepping into like, wait a minute, we want our power back. We finally realizing that we actually have the power. And as soon as human beings do decide that, they do have the power back. That's the universal law. But at the moment when the change happened, Pleiadian beings that were here were absolutely overwhelmed with negative emotions from human beings that were terrified and did not like that choice that the humans made of giving up their power, and felt that humans were too immature to make a choice in the first place, so they need to be rescued instead of allowing them now to learn through powerlessness. So Pleiadian delegation that was here insisted on trying to rescue, even though the Solar Council actually overruled them, saying that no human race was conscious enough to make that choice. It's an unfortunate choice, but it's still a choice. So Pleiadian group got stuck here, because with frequency, they so merged with their love energy, so merged with the human beings, but now human beings chose to go down. They chose to become powerless. And with that, they sort of dragged the Pleiadians. So the planet went frequency-wise down, human beings' range shrunk to 3D and became limited to 3D, and some of the Pleiadian beings that were part of that delegation ended up going with them, so they could not leave. And of course, their lifespan physically is longer than ours, but eventually that runs out too, so they die at some point. And when those Pleiadian beings, the 100 or so that got stuck here with us, died, they could not go home because they karmically now were linked to the human evolution, to our path. So they had to clean out their karma first of rescuing in order to fully move on. And that's exactly what they are doing. That's why we have such a large group of Pleiadian starseeds compared to any other starseed delegation here now. So beings that are incarnate in human bodies, just like that Pleiadian group that got stuck here, they had to now incarnate into human bodies because there were no more Pleiadian bodies here and they could not go home. So that's how we ended up with essentially first starseeds, are those Pleiadian beings who tried to rescue us and got stuck here. So their karmic pattern is cleaning up their perception of where was their focus. They focused on not enoughness. They focused on powerlessness of the human race in that moment. And because of that focus, they amplified the situation to the point that it even linked them to this timeline. So what they are learning is how to step back into that energy of oneness and connectedness and essentially whatever it is that they lost sort of from the original perception of unified love. So instead of focusing on the pain, and because karmically, if we forget the current Pleiadians here on Earth and we think of Pleiadians as the refugees from the Lyran Wars, well, they focused on pain as well, and that became part of their culture. So even though they have a lot of love and connectedness, that is still one of their karmic patterns that as species they are cleaning up. So as species, Pleiadian beings are working on focusing on enoughness instead of pain. Because of their fluidity, it's so easy for them to focus on pain when somebody's hurting. And they have to really learn to be individual that makes a choice to focus on enoughness instead of pain. So the same goes for any starseed that's here that is Pleiadian. That is still the same lesson. And even if you're not Pleiadian, it's still something that could be utilized by your system as we're working with Pleiadians this month. So anytime there is pain, we have a choice. Pain outside of ourselves or in our body or in our emotions, internal or external, doesn't matter. Anytime there is pain, you have a choice. Do you focus on that pain or do you focus on something larger? For example, unconditional love or supply or lesson, what am I learning? Anything that takes you into enoughness and oneness instead of pain, which is separation. If we do that, then we actually minimize pain, so there's less of it happening. If instead we focus on pain, all we do is we merge with it, so we amplify it. So in our own body, well, that's obviously not beneficial because we're creating more pain. Same thing in our own emotions, but you can even think about what that looks like for humanity, for example. Anytime we fixate on, oh, there's people hurting, all we're doing is we're amplifying that pain. So that morphogenic field that perpetuates the victim powerlessness that created the pain gets stronger. We add energy to it. So that's the last thing we actually want to do. When there is pain, what you want to focus on is the counteracting, counterbalancing component. Let's say pure unconditional love, connectedness, compassion, and what are they learning as to why there is pain. Now you're still connected to it, but you're adding a frequency note that's so much higher vibrationally that it's actually helping to transmute that negative morphogenic field. So it's adding power of the, you know, your perception to the field of powerlessness. In doing so, it dissolves some of that victim pattern and amplifies inner power, inner creator authority, and the power of making choices. So that's why it's so important where your focus is, and that is the thing that Pleiadian beings are learning, and as they're learning, so are we, and we're going to utilize their process for ourselves as well.